This is Mary McKenzie with the NVC Academy, and I'm thrilled to be here with you today and Mickey Kasten, our trainer for the day. I want to just talk a bit about the topic. So the name of the class is Preview for Leadership Within Your Workplace. I want to start with a couple of quick questions. How many of you on the call think that you don't have enough power in your workplace in order to make positive change? I'm going to ask a second question. How many of you believe that power doesn't necessarily mean a designated leadership position, but you don't actually know how to exercise your power to create positive change? Okay, so the first question, there were 32% of the people who responded to the first question positively, which means that they don't think they have enough power to make positive change. And the second group, there were about 25% of the people who said that they don't necessarily think of power as a designated position, but they don't know how to exercise it. And many of the people in the first group moved to the second. I think that's interesting information, and I think it stands for where a lot of us live in our lives. I know it was true for me back in the day when I was in kind of a more traditional job environment. I really thought that if I didn't have a leadership position, that I couldn't make change happen the way I wanted to. And I spent way more time than I'd like to admit in a state of powerlessness or hopelessness, frustration about how things went. And there was one time in particular when I just could not stand staff meetings. In this particular organization, I was a fundraiser, and we had staff meetings every Monday morning, and we were to talk about our success in bringing money in for the organization the week before. And I just hated them. And one day I was watching myself in the staff meeting, and I was thinking, boy, this is so uninspiring, and it's unappealing, and I hate it, it's boring. And then I looked at myself, and I was sitting there with my arms crossed, and I wasn't interacting unless I was called upon by my boss. I hadn't come especially well prepared. I didn't come prepared to ask questions or to get more information from my colleagues about how to move my projects forward. And I realized that the fact that our meeting was uninspiring was because I came in uninspired. So I set out to try to do things differently. And so before the next team meeting, I did some work to try to figure out how could I really get the most out of the team meeting? Like, what's the kind of information I'd want to get from my colleagues or the vice president that would help me move my projects forward? What would an inspired staff meeting look like to me? And I started coming to the meetings prepared, ready to ask questions, interested in the topic, because I actually liked my work. And what happened was the meetings became way more inspiring for me and also for others. And I started to hear feedback from people. They were saying things like, wow, I really love our staff meetings. I wonder why. What's different about them? They just seem kind of more engaged. Look, we're all more engaged. And that was a critical lesson for me, that engagement, or shifting the power of a thing or shifting the way the organization runs, actually is within me as well. It's not just my superior. And in fact, to my shame, I realized that my vice president who set up these meetings, that's exactly what he intended. He intended them to be a place where we would all get the support we need in order to do the work that we needed to do, and where we could develop our relationships with each other and our partnerships with each other so that we could have more fun doing it and more success. So that was one way that I would say that I've learned some of what Mickey's going to be talking about so many years ago. Here's what Mickey says about leadership and power, and I'm quoting her. In the traditional models we have inherited, power resides outside us and is usually attributed to the designated leader. Even as we seek to transform the world, we continue to act as if this is true. I'm just going to read that again because I think that's such a great quote. In the traditional models we have inherited, power resides outside of us, usually attributed to the designated leader. And even as we seek to transform the world, we continue to act as if this is true. In today's call, Mickey will talk about how this traditional model or this traditional idea about leadership is limited, and how, in fact, when we step up as leaders in our own workplace, no matter our position, positive change happens, just like it did for me at the university so many years ago. Later in the call, Mickey will spend time talking about her upcoming program, which takes the material she's talking about today and expands it into four different sessions. And it's called Leadership Within Your Workplace. What I'm hoping you're going to walk away with are these things. Simple tools for caring for all the needs at work. Yours, those are the people you work with, and your organizations. So simple tools for caring for all of those needs and sort of responding to all of those needs. The second thing I'm hoping you'll walk away with is a much greater compassion for yourself, for the challenges that can occur when you try to show up differently, and sometimes the rocky experience that can be. So much greater compassion for yourself. And then also greater understanding for the power that each of us holds for inspiring change in our workplace, no matter our position. So I believe that if we can understand more about power and how we can hold it in our organizations, we have much more chance for inspiring change. I hope ultimately at the end, besides getting all this information, you can walk away feeling inspired to show up differently in your workplace and having the kind of results that you want in your workplace. This call is all about empowering you so that you can ultimately empower your organization. So with that, I am so happy to introduce Mickey Kashtan, who's a certified trainer in the Bay Area, the Oakland area in the United States. Mickey, welcome.
Hi. Nice to be here with everyone and to see how much people want to have a more empowered place in their workplace. And I do want to, before talking with a volunteer, I do want to say something, which is, you know, a while back when I was writing a piece about leadership and I was trying to understand what people usually mean by leadership and what do I mean by it, it was very striking how the traditional model associates leadership with position rather than with intention. And in this way, anyone who doesn't have a position that has formal leadership is in effect consigned to be only thinking about themselves because they're not supposed to be thinking about the whole. That's what the leaders do. It was very striking to see that what that does is it creates enormous stress and loneliness for people in positions of leadership. And it creates disempowerment and meaninglessness for those without. So for me, if we all move to positions of leadership, then the entire world would be different. So I do still believe that there is power and meaning in having a designated leader because there's a clear place of responsibility for the whole. It's not that that person is the only one responsible. It's there is a particular piece of, for example, I have a project that I have been trying to pull off the ground. And there are many people responsible for, not many, but there's a few people responsible for pieces of this project. And there hasn't been anyone that has taken on responsibility for the whole. They all want it to happen, but no one stepped into actual leadership. And so the project has been languishing. And now there's a new person on the team, and this person is actively stepping into, I will hold the whole thing, track the whole thing, communicate with everyone. That's a very clear one-person leadership role. It's not about everybody else then just going, well, I don't have to think about anything because that person does, which is what we tend to do. So what I would like to do in terms of working with a volunteer is to find someone to work with who has a situation in a workplace where you know you're not living your full power. You're not really taking leadership. You're kind of passively waiting for other people to do it. Maybe you're even complaining about them to others. And where you want to kind of like examine the possibility of stepping into that elusive state of holding the whole. Is there anyone who is up for engaging with this kind of work?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm laughing because yes, ma'am is a kind of a funny thing in this context.
It's very Southern. It's an ingrained Southernness.
Yeah, which is interesting. It is a way of passing power to another person. You see that?
Yes. I had to stop myself from saying ma'am.
You were going to say yes, ma'am, I see that, right? So what is your situation?
Well, I work in the public school system, mm-hmm. and in our local school, I can see that they are making a conscious effort to build community, which is a wonderful idea, and encouraging teachers to work together in a partnership type relationship so that we can, you know, lean mm-hmm. on each other for support and resources, and to take an interest in the personal story of the children that we are responsible for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But it has all been kind of handed down to us by the administrators. I see sitting in, you know, faculty yeah. meetings and staff meetings that, you know, we have been issued like, you know, school systems are tend to be prone to, like, you know, this is the new thing that we're going to try. We're going to do it. And it lasts a year or two or maybe three, and then they jump on, you know, the next
yeah.
educational
it.
Bandwagon. So I don't feel like I've sat in a lot of meetings that have had really good ideas, but I still don't feel that there's no real authentic relationship building, because I don't feel like we have any say in it. I know for, you know, me personally, I don't feel like I have any
yeah.
say to say, well, you know, this is what resonates with me. It's an assignment being handed to us, and it's just kind of being taken in
it.
As one more thing we have to do.
I got it completely. What I'm hearing
yeah.
is it's not even that you are against this.
No,
you're,
I think it's a beautiful idea.
It's like you're not seeing full engagement. And then the question is, as a teacher, is there something I can do to shift that mindset that this is being handed to us and we have no say? Okay, I got it. Thank you. The reason I think it's particularly relevant is because of that experience of things being handed down to us, and we don't really have a say in the matter. I am really curious to hear how many people have felt that in some workplace or another. Press 4 if it's familiar to you. This sense of, you know, it's just happening, comes down from someone, and here I am far away from where the decisions are made. Press 4 if that applies to you. Not necessarily at present, but you're familiar. It resonates with you as something you've experienced. Yeah, so it's quite a number of people. Thank you. So here is the path that I want to take you on, that I believe is the path of leadership. The path of leadership, it first of all requires us to shift a little bit our perspective from thinking about what I want for myself to thinking about what I want for the whole. Is this just
mm-hmm.
making sense to you?
Yes.
And it's interesting because a lot of people, and especially women, because of how we've been trained, but not only women, when we hear think about the whole, we hear it as if that means giving up on ourselves. I'm wondering if there is anything like that going on for you.
I think it's more of a feeling of powerlessness in feeling like the idea being presented has true value, but because I don't have any choice or any say to make it more personally relevant mm-hmm. or to show up in a way that resonates more
yeah.
deeply with me, that I have a hard time putting myself 100% into it because it is just an assignment being handed down. It doesn't feel like there's room to say, but could it be done this way? Could we come to it in this way?
Yes, the powerlessness, we're going to get to the powerlessness. For me, the first step in everything that we do, if we want to assume a position of leadership internally, to begin with an internal orientation of leadership, is to know what we want. That's the first step. And what I'm talking about right now in terms of knowing what you want is focusing on something bigger than yourself, which I think you're already doing. I just want to name it because it's not just for you, it's for everyone. That the shift to leadership is the shift from thinking only about what will work for me to thinking about what's going to serve the whole.
In this situation, that would be developing a conscious community whose effort and focus is on building authentic relationships.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. What I mean by beautifully said, I want to tell you what I mean by that. Number one, I hear it as very clear. Number two, I see that you're holding the whole when you're saying it, because you're not saying, I want for myself to have it be easy, or I want for myself to have more meaning. I see in how you're speaking that you care about the whole community. Do you feel that within yourself?
Yes.
And so I just want to finish the thought from before, even though it doesn't totally apply to you, I want to name for the benefit of everyone, which is that stepping into holding the whole is not about giving up on ourselves, because we are part of the whole. There is a kind of a dichotomy that many of us have lulled ourselves into, believing that, you know, thinking about the whole is something else. Somehow then I have to kind of like subdue myself, give up on myself. And so I see that you are already doing that. So that's the first step. The second step is to then turn what you want into action and see what could the action be that would carry forth that intentionality. And sometimes the action is only within yourself. I can imagine, I'm not advocating it in any way whatsoever. In fact, when I connect with the level of energy that is in you, I hope you would not do this. I just want to name it because it is a path. One of the paths is to just change my own relationship to the thing and embrace it because it looks like a good program and I want to give it my all, even if I'm not happy with how it was handed down. That is a possible outcome. Do you see it?
Yes.
There are times when the only thing that I want is to overcome my knee-jerk reaction to I don't have power and therefore I will disengage and therefore I will do it half-heartedly. Embracing something wholeheartedly, even if I don't like how it was done, is already orienting to the potential positive effect of this thing. But I don't think this is what you want to do. I think what you want to do is you want to get true engagement with this program, with this plan. So then
yes.
A second path that you can have is to have meaningful dialogue with your coworkers. I don't know what the setup is, and again, I'm just naming it as, you know, kind of like trying to be exhaustive about all the options. What if you arranged on your own, you know, like every Friday a bag lunch? Again, forgive me if I don't know the realities of your situation and translate it to whatever it could work, where whoever wants to talk about how this program is going, and what, within the parameters that you've been given, what can be done to make it work better? you are, in some small way, and possibly even a big way, you're already having an effect around you. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I'm curious to hear from you what arises when you imagine doing something like this, which, again, I'm not advocating. I'm just exploring.
Actually, I really resonate like with what you were saying, like organizing kind of on my own. Like you said, a bag lunch, and immediately I thought like an early like coffee and pastries, because different grade levels within a public school system have different lunch periods.
Okay.
And those lunch periods aren't always free, and the planning periods are segmented at different times during the day because you have to accommodate different grade levels and their schedules. I totally immediately saw like having like coffee and pastries available to anybody who wanted to be at work, you know, 15 or 20 minutes early, and come in and have a cup of coffee and have a little something to eat and just open up the day by, you know, talking about maybe, you know, what's good that's happening, where do we feel empowered, where do we mm-hmm. feel like we could continue to make that a focus or a priority, or if somebody's coming in feeling stuck and, you know, providing
yeah.
space to say, okay, you know, you can, where are you stuck? Why do you feel stuck? Or is it just a situation with a parent or a coworker or a student that you just need to kind of release that stuck feeling? And then we're here to support and provide ideas when you're ready to hear that of how you could move past that or work within the context of the frame that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, being teachers, we all run out of the building the minute we're allowed to leave.
Yeah.
For most of us. So like I immediately saw like a morning coffee and pastry, and because I teach in the special education field in our school, so I have like a full kitchen at my disposal, and I could totally see myself like, you know, getting in the morning making coffee for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as something that would be a really good opportunity, and it would feel casual, and it would feel
mm-hmm.
like maybe a good way to start the day. You know, don't stop and, you know, grab coffee at the gas station, you know, come in for coffee and chat and you know, and try to make that a really positive way to
yeah.
know, begin the day. Yeah.
Okay. So notice that just one seed of an idea just sprouted your imagination. You already have specifics, what questions you would ask, what support you would give, how you would organize it. Suddenly there's a channel for your energy. Do you see it?
I do, and I like it. It feels good.
And I don't want to stop there.
Okay.
Because I also want to think about the possibility of how you might engage with the people who made the decision. Take that level of power. In other words, what we have explored so far is taking power within yourself, which each one of us can do. You know, people do it in prison. You know, completely transform their relationship to the experience and become leaders by virtue of not accepting the humiliation and lack of dignity. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So it's not a trivial thing to transform the way we hold ourselves. And the most amazing example of this that I know is Etty Hillesum, who wrote a diary during World War II, before she went to Auschwitz, that details a spiritual path that she was on as the world was closing in on her. Her inner world continued to expand to the point where she became a source of inspiration and support for other people in the transitional camp where she was for a while. So I'm not underestimating it. So that's one power that we have. The internal power of subverting the terms that we believe are the only possible terms. Acting from within based on the vision and passion that we hold. A second one is relating differently to those around us. In this case, creating a structure that might be missing from above. Creating it, offering a place for people to give and receive support is an amazing act of leadership, an amazing expression of power. And I want to take it further to how might you engage with the administration?
Oh, goodness. That's where I think I feel stuck. That's where I get stuck. That's where I feel very intimidated because it feels like me versus the machine. It feels we are the public school system. It is a very big...
Okay, you'll be
right.
The principal.
So maybe if I just start with the principal.
No, you'll be the principal. Imagine being the principal and
okay.
I'm coming to you. I'm a teacher in the school.
Right.
Okay? And I asked to have a meeting with you, and you agreed. So here we are sitting, and principals, I think, usually agree to meet with teachers, don't they?
Yes, okay. And our principal is very, she's open to hearing us when we need her.
Okay. So I'm just curious to hear, I don't want to do like a back and forth role play, just curious to hear, as the principal, how you feel when you hear my words. Okay? What you may
uh-huh.
not tell, what you might not even tell me, but will be going on. So thank you, Principal. I am here because I see a tremendous amount of potential with this new initiative. And I'm really excited about the possibility of making it work even better. And I have some ideas that I would like to discuss with you. Are you open to hearing them? Rather than answering, tell me how you feel.
I respect an employee that takes it upon themselves to do something within the system.
Great. That's the first step, is you do that. But you see, I didn't come with a complaint. There was no complaint in the way that I said it. I didn't come saying, this was handed down to us, and it's da-da-da-da-da, and because of this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it should be fixed, which is what people in formal positions of leadership most dread, is people coming to them to complain, especially if they themselves have very limited power. If I come to support, because the principal is part of the whole too. And if I'm holding the whole, I am going to want to support the principal. So if I come to her with that, she's likely to be relieved. Then if you talk with her about your ideas, and especially if you've had some meetings with teachers and you have some pretty nifty ideas to offer her, I wouldn't be surprised if she would agree to go with you to a meeting with the superintendent. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do see that. Makes it a little less intimidating to think of starting locally, homeschool, with the lead, with the principal first, and getting them on board before going higher up that chain of command. That's less intimidating.
Yeah, and your task is to come prepared with ideas and suggestions. Not just with problems. That's a key part of the leadership path, is that you are already moving it to action. You're not just talking about, you know, this doesn't work. Because if I come to you and I say this doesn't work, I leave the problem in your hands to solve it. Therefore, I become a big weight on your shoulders. If I come to you and I say, you know, I like this idea, I have some suggestions about how we can take better ownership of it, make it work even better, then I am supporting you. I am a solution. I take some of the load off you. You feel that difference, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think too what I'm hearing in you is bringing awareness to my realizing that the administration probably does get mostly a lot of negative complaints from
yes.
parents, complaints from students, behavior problems, complaints from teachers, whether it's their interpersonal relationships or their relationships with the students or the parents of the students. So
mm-hmm.
to come not as a complaint to add to that burden, but to come and say, hey, I have ideas and I would like to take responsibility for my ideas or play an active role in carrying out these ideas would give them something that they don't always get a lot of and probably seems a little fresh compared to what they deal more with.
There you go.
Yeah. Realizing, too, I love what you said, that they are just as much a part of the whole. And when we consider ourselves a part of the whole, we're holding them as a part of that, too. And it takes the us versus them out of it so that we're
Thank
all
you.
In it together.
I've never met you. I've never talked with you. And I have tears in my eyes because you're acting like a plant. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Like when you have a show and you have a plant, it's like I'm so moved. I'm so touched.
Thank you.
And it's particularly because you're a teacher and because I have such, you know, I have very complicated feelings in relation to teachers. But one of them is immense tenderness because the position of being a teacher is so difficult. You always have more than you can handle. You have more responsibility than you have authority.
Yeah, that's true. We have a lot of responsibility, but it's a wonderful job. It's a wonderful thing that I do. I enjoy what I do thoroughly.
Excellent. It was a total pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much. This was really wonderful. So much of what you said really directly resonated and is helping me to kind of get clear in where I've been feeling intimidated or stuck. So thank you so much.
Yeah. You know, I wanna say that a while back I had a conversation with someone who is in a position of great leadership in some company, and he said something that I don't know if it's true or not, but it stayed with me. He said that anywhere, any work that people do, let's say on a shop floor in a factory, some people, he thinks it's 1 in 10, just bring their full self to the work. And instead of just doing the tasks, every once in a while, you know, there's a person that kind of like steps up to beyond just doing their piece. Let's say that they're on an assembly line even. They still take leadership. They look to see, can there be a way to make it more efficient and easier on my coworkers? How can we position ourselves? Even little things where it's bringing more of yourself. And that's what I'm seeing Ariana going for. And I'm really pleased and excited. Okay, so I'd like to open it up to see if people have questions or comments for you or for me, if you'd like to join the conversation.
I want to check in with your choice, Mickey, to say better idea. Because my fear was that would trigger the principal into say, what's wrong with my idea?
Uh-huh.
And it goes to comparisons. And the other question was your teaching choice to go immediately to Ariana with an idea. A solution in some sense, which some of us in NBC try not to do. And yet it was a very effective choice, I thought, at that moment to invite her into something new. So I'm curious about those two choices and happy to hear whatever you think would be helpful.
Thank you. First of all, about the first piece, I am absolutely with you. I'm stunned that that came out of my mouth if it did. And
actually, I heard it twice.
That's fine. Then all I can say is it's in my unconscious comparative thinking, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I haven't fully recovered from it. I'm not standing behind it. And in terms of...
To speak to that, if you have excitement, then an idea might really contribute. I do kind of like the idea of saying, hey, have an idea that might be even more wonderful, you know.
But and that's
anyway.
that's still comparing. And I think it was more this that, but maybe not even compare it to anything, which is I like the ideas of the program, and I have some ideas that I would really like to add on to it that I'm really excited about how those might work. In addition to what we already have or something like this. And in terms of the second thing, I'm not even sure exactly what to say. I am not personally against offering people ideas about things that they can do. I wasn't exactly offering Ariana advice, I was kind of like reviewing a palette of possibilities. And then what I saw happen is that Ariana just took it and ran with it.
It worked, and it does help me kind of develop a little more confidence around maybe saying, I have a crazy idea. Would you be willing to?
Yeah.
Thank you for holding that with me.
Sure. Anything else for anyone else? Any further questions or comments?
This is a side comment. I want to know the name of the woman in the camp.
Her name is Etty, E-T-T-Y, T as in Tom. Her last name is Hillesum, H-I-L-L-E, S as in Sam, U, M as in Mary. The name of the book is An Interrupted Life. I have found her to be one of the most inspiring humans that I have ever heard from. Just because it wasn't in the context of a monastery or some place like this. It was in the context of a grueling life. The last written thing that we know of that she wrote was she went from the transitional camp to Auschwitz with a group of people. And she dropped a card from the train that somebody picked up. And on the card it said, "We left the camp singing."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And how related to leadership is that leadership really emerges from human dignity. And especially if somebody is trying to take away my power, my humanity, my dignity, it's an act of leadership to not let them. I cannot change their actions. I do not have the power to keep them from killing me. I always have the power to maintain my humanity to the very last second. Thank you for asking about that.
Thank you. I'm inspired right now from the note you dropped. I'm inspired. So thank you.
Thank you for asking, yeah. Okay. Ariana, any last thoughts before I turn it back to Mary?
I would like to express my gratitude in saying thank you. It feels very nice to be kind of chosen and selected to have an opportunity to kind of pin down and exact some focus in the things that I have been experiencing in my own workplace and my own desire to build that community and establish some leadership. So thank you so much. That was really beautiful.
Thank you. I hope you take the course because I know I will enjoy your presence.
Yes, I am planning on it. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. One more comment.
So my question is, if you're wanting to take that leadership role in and talking to the administration, but that you are not able to alone carry out certain things or whatever, but you're also seeking help from the administration to help delegate it so that just because you come up with some good ideas, if they say, okay, go ahead, now you run with it, but you don't have the time to do it all yourself.
Then you frame it differently. You just say, I have some ideas that I would really love to explore with you, and if you like them, then maybe we can brainstorm about who could carry them out. Yeah?
Well, that seems very simple. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right, Mary, to you.
Thank you, Mickey, and also thank you, Ariana, for being our volunteer today and everybody who's made comments or asked questions. I think what you're talking about, Mickey, is really pretty powerful work because it can affect virtually anybody who's working in one form or another. So I just have a few questions to talk to you about with regard to your four-part course that's going to be starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is, I wonder if some people on the call imagine that the concept of caring for all the needs would be overwhelming and maybe even impossible. So would you talk more about what you mean by that concept and how a person could practically demonstrate it?
Well, I think that the work that we did with Ariana really looked at that very clearly. What I want to say in terms of if it feels overwhelming and impossible, I find it always helpful to recognize that what I care about and what I do are not the same. In other words, I personally care about all the 7 billion people that live on the planet and all the many creatures that I don't even know, all life forms. I care about the integrity of physical things. I care about so much. And that in itself is not determining my actions, because there's a question of what is my actual capacity. So I can care for all the needs, and I could still take small, tiny baby steps based on my awareness of the reality of the situation, including my own capacity. Does this speak to the concern?
Absolutely, it does for me. I'm hoping it does for everybody else on the call, too. Thank you for that. So I'm wondering if you'd talk more about your course. The course is called Leadership Within Your Workplace. So, Mickey, would you tell us just a bit more about the course and what you'll be covering?
Sure. The course kind of like, in a way, it's almost like expanding on each of the aspects that we looked at with Ariana. We will look at this attitude of embracing the whole and what that means in different positions. Because embracing the whole when you are, you know, delivering mail is not the same as embracing the whole if you're the CEO. And then we'll also look at exactly what it means to hold multiple needs before choosing a path of action. And we'll look at personal needs, the needs of others, and also within a workplace there's this whole thing that we didn't get into with Ariana, which has to do with the shared purpose and values, that is part of what I'm holding. It's not just about the individuals. It truly is the whole. And then in addition to that, we will look at how, from that perspective, we support people in positions of formal power and how we empower those with less power than ourselves. So all of that is what I intend to look at in terms of leadership within their workplace.
Thank you. And can you talk a bit about the structure of your course? Because I imagine there are people on the call who maybe have never taken a course with you. So just talk a bit about the structure and how you run your course.
Yeah, I usually have materials that I prepare ahead of time that allow people to reflect ahead of time to have some, you know, new insights. And then during the call, there is part of the time people are in small groups, part of the time I introduce ideas, and part of the time I work with individuals in a way similar to how I worked with Ariana. So these are the three components that tend to happen.
So people do get time to bring their own situations to the table and sort of grapple with them a bit. Okay, thanks. I'm curious why it's so important for you to focus this course just on the workplace.
Well, it's a four-part course. This is the third of a four-part course. The first part we looked at embracing leadership in relation to ourselves. Then we looked at leadership in relationships. This is now in the workplace. And the last one, which starts in August, is about becoming a change agent everywhere we go. So I'm trying to cover the entire range of places where we might take leadership. And the workplace is a big part of it. We spend hours, most of our waking time is in the workplace for those people who have a workplace to go to. It's a big deal. I don't want that time to be dead time, that we just wait for it to be over.
Thank you. And my final question is, who do you think this course would be relevant to? Or most relevant to?
Anybody who works anywhere.
Yeah, I'm even thinking people who volunteer, not even people who have actual jobs where they receive money, but even people who volunteer in organizations.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, the only thing that I think it wouldn't be particularly helpful for is people who do solo work, where the whole is themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like a wonderful course, Mickey. I know that for me, some of the concepts that you're talking about have been absolutely crucial in my work life well before I started to run the Academy with Mark Schultz. But also, much of them we use within the Academy work that we do. And so it's powerful. So I'm excited about it. And I'm curious if there's anybody on the call who has a particular question for Mickey about the structure of her course or something specifically related to the course that's coming up.
I'm taking a course with Jim and Dory Manske, and there's practice groups in the middle of the week, and I'm wondering if you have capacity or if NBC has capacity to add that kind of find I learn so much more when I have a small group to kind of process things with. Is there capacity for that kind of extra add-on?
That would be self-organized by people. And I want to say that there is time to work in small groups within each of the sessions. But if people want beyond that, that would be self-organized.
Is there anybody else who has a question for Miki about the structure or content of her course? Okay. Wow, you must have answered all the questions already, Miki. So not seeing any hands up, then we still have a few minutes left. I'd like to open it up for anybody who has any comments or questions about the work that Miki did today with Ariana or just in general.
I think I understand why you told Ariana to leave out her complaints about the situation, but I was wondering why she wouldn't be sharing her own experience as a reason to come up with her new ideas.
There's no reason not to share her experience. I just want to be strategic about how I share it. So I share it maybe as background, as information. It's just the energetic field of complaint is very toxic.
I understand.
So, for example, I can see Ariana telling the principal, you know, as I reflected on how this has affected me, I see it was very interesting for me to notice that even though I am in favor of this program, there is a way in which I felt disempowered, and that is what led me to think about this more and to come up with these ideas. No problem with that. Do you see?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Miki, thank you once again for this call today and for your work that I think is so amazing and wonderful and supports so many people. Thank you for bringing it to the NBC Academy.